Hello everyone, my name is Max Adams. Today's video is all about SQL Server 2008 and how to optimize data warehousing within SQL Server 2008. I'm going to give you 10 tips on optimization of data warehousing in Microsoft SQL Server 2008. Right, let's jump in. Tip number one. This is all about design. Design your data warehouse or your data mart with the end in mind using a star or snowflake schema. Now always remember that a data warehouse or a data mart differs in scope and utilization from that of a typical OLTP or online transactional processing database. Those are usually relational in structure. However, star schemas are designed with a few, possibly even only one, fact tables. Let's have a look at a database diagram to describe what I mean. I'm opening up AdventureWorks Data Warehouse 2008, which you can get with the example databases of SQL 2008. I'm going to open that up and have a look at how a fact table relates. A fact table is really consists of the measurements or the facts of a particular business process. So for instance, we've got reseller sales. These are facts. Now because we're looking at the grain of these fact tables, being the most atomic of that process, so in other words, the fact reseller sales could have a row in it for each time a sale is made. It's very, very atomic. And as such, the tables become extremely large over time. These are things that are fast-moving, changing. It can be all the way down to line items on a till slip, for instance. These fact tables are then supported and surrounded in this star-like schema by what's called dimension tables or dim tables. These store very slow changing data, like for instance the sales territories or the products or the employees within this business process, and they're actually supporting the fact. So in other words, what we're saying here is that the fact reseller sales has a complex or composite key of all of the dimensions that it might hold, while the dimensions themselves have one basic primary key, and the fact reseller sales links to them by foreign keys. Tip number two is also a design principle, and that is to partition large facts tables. Now, if your fact table has the potential to become rather large, usually about 50 gigabytes or above, consider designing with partitions in mind from the outgo. This means splitting your table horizontally into smaller parts. Now imagine a fact table of several million rows, non-partitioned. This means that every single insertion, deletion, or update of any kind incurs enormous index maintenance costs. Now if the self-same table were partitioned by, let's say, date, only the most recent partition need be handled during a load, and this would greatly reduce the time cost involved. Tip number three. Plan at the get-go to age out your old data. Now, data warehouses are actually meant to track and analyze the business history of an organization, but this means that over time, the warehouse will grow enormously. However, statistics show that the older the data, the less frequently it will be accessed, and it will be accessed in a different way, perhaps just aggregations instead of down to minute detail. Consider at the design stage how you're going to handle this. You could use partitions, it makes it much easier. You could use archives on slower, less costly disk space, etc., etc. Tip number four is more around hardware, and that is to specify enough RAM so that no query I/O is needed. Now we all know that disk I/O is the slowest component within a reporting system. The Microsoft SQL Server Customer Advisory Team engineers have stated in the past that in most data warehouses, the data is very unevenly accessed. In fact, they reckon that about 80% of the data is very rarely accessed at all. Now what this means is that if you provision enough main memory to hold approximately 20% of the warehouse's data, the disk should very rarely be used for querying your warehouse. Now granted, in a lot of cases that means a hell of a lot of RAM, but yeah, so if you want to speed up that query, in RAM is probably better. Today's hardware also specifies solid state drives and flash flash drive type memory, where it's cheaper and probably more efficient to use that sort of hardware within your data warehouse. Tip number five, terminate all your SQL statements correctly. Now, in SQL 2005 and before, previous, terminating SQL statements with a semicolon was most often not necessary. However, in SQL 2008, a number of the new statements require the semicolon terminator. For instance, your merge statements, which are going to make ETL loading much better. So to avoid any problems with the semicolon not being there, remember to do all of your SQL statements, terminate all of them with a semicolon. Tip number six is to use the resource governor. Using SQL Server 2008 resource governor, you can control your SQL Server resources by allocating CPU and memory to specific applications and users, thereby preventing race conditions, runaway processes from queries, and other database problems. Using the resource governor, which is new to SQL Server 2008, you can create resource pools which control your CPU memory and parallelism. And you can also create workload groups which group the applications and users to those configured resource pools. I've got a query here which shows how to start using the resource governor. For instance, you can have a look at sys.dm_resource_governor_configuration. This will show that we don't have any reconfiguration pending. MySQL Server 2008 has no customized resource governing at the moment. I can have a look at what pools are available. Again, these are just the default ones that are going to be available. I've got an internal pool and a default pool. Using this resource governor, I can create a whole lot more of those resource pools. And then lastly, I'm going to have a look at the workload groups. And again, it's just the default ones, but we could have workload groups per application or per user group, which we would then assign to our resource pools, preventing any runaway processes. Tip number seven is to plan when to build your indexes and statistics. Now, SQL Server's Query Optimizer uses information from the database statistics, like the number of rows, the data distribution, etc., in order to determine the optimal query plan. Therefore, if these statistics are inaccurate, a suboptimal plan may be chosen, which would degrade your performance. Now, the recommendation is that if you can afford the time at the end of your ETL process, statistics and indexes should be updated after each load of the data warehouse. Tip number eight is to use page compression wherever possible. Now, usually data compression is associated with hard disk space savings, meaning savings on backup times, etc. Now, this is true for SQL Server data compression, but the main goal is the fact table size and reducing it. Okay, so let's have a look at a predefined query that I have here. The first thing I'm going to do is create a non-compressed table, right, with ID, first name, last name, and put 10,000 rows onto it. So let me execute that. Now, this might take a few seconds to do. Right, so there we have a table of 10,000 rows. Let's have a look now at the size of that on disk by running sp space used on that table. And there we can see that the data is close on 10 megabytes. Right, let's do exactly the same table, but make it compressed. So I'm going to use data compression of paging and add 10,000 rows to it in exactly the same way. Okay, it may take a few seconds. 7 to be precise. And do the space used on there. Well, see, just by using page compression, wow, there's only 1.5 megs on that. So we've reduced it by a factor of about 8. Now, as I said, the main goal is to do this. The fact table, if this was our fact table, size is reduced, and this means that the query performance is increased by reducing the I/O. Tip number 9 is for parallel performance, and that is to include an explicit date range predicate in all your queries. So I have two queries predefined here. Number one is the typical typical query that you might find on any database anywhere, where it's joining to the dimension date explicitly. So this uses a nested loop between the date dimension and the fact table. Now this could limit parallelism, as only one thread at most can be used for each qualifying date dimension row in this case. I'm going to execute that. Now I don't have enough data here to show the difference in time. I mean, it's going to be 0 seconds for both. But if you use something like our second query here, let's go up a little, where I am using explicit date range predicate. If you look here, order date key is between 01/01/2004 and 07/01/2004. What happens here is the query uses hash joins to execute query plans and therefore can fully parallelize. Okay, I'm going to run that, but as I say, you're not going to see much difference in time. But if you use these date ranges explicitly as a predicate, it can fully parallelize on your server. So if you've got a quad core server or whatever, it can spawn 4 threads to do the joining to your date dimension table. Now the last tip in this video is purely to use Microsoft SQL Server 2008 as your data warehousing tool of choice, not least of all because it gives star join query optimization for free. Star join query optimization is a new feature found in SQL Server 2008, which basically recognizes any star schemas and processes accordingly. This gives an average of a 20% quicker query on data warehouses. Just remember that the highest efficiency is found in joining by integers to our dimension tables. So I hope you found this useful. 10 tips on how to optimize your data warehouse with SQL Server 2008. I surely have enjoyed learning about it and talking to you about it. And until next time, this is Max Adams saying cheers.